Today, we're really jumping into something fascinating. We've got this stack of sources, quite compelling stuff, that talks about an unseen reality all around us. Our goal here is to unpack these insights, specifically looking at what they call heavenly intelligences. We want to understand their presence, their purpose, and, you know, how they might influence our everyday lives. It's a picture of these powerful forces striving for influence, and humanity is right there in the middle of it all. Pretty intense stuff. So let's kick things off. One line from the sources really jumped out at me. Over every man, good and evil angels strive. That immediately sets a dramatic stage, doesn't it? Like a constant personal struggle happening just out of sight.
It absolutely does. And what's key is that these aren't just abstract forces. Mm-hmm. The sources call them ministering spirits, specifically sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, heirs of salvation, that refers to people seen as having this, well, profound spiritual destiny. And their presence, it's described as constant. Think about this. Invisible agencies observing every word and deed of human beings.
Mm.
It even says, in every assembly for business or pleasure, in every gathering for worship, there are more listeners than can be seen with the natural sight.
Wow. That really gives you more listeners than we can see. So it's not just passive watching then. It sounds more like active involvement.
Exactly. It's active.
The sources mention a silent witness who guards every soul that lives, seeking to draw that soul to Christ. So they're invested, deeply invested.
Precisely. And you might ask, well, why? Why all this focus on us, on, as the sources put it, this speck of a world? The answer given is pretty direct. Because Christ has paid an infinite price for the souls of its inhabitants. That sacrifice, according to these texts, makes every single person incredibly significant in this cosmic picture.
Right. So just take a second, you listening, and imagine that, constantly observed by powerful beings who aren't indifferent, but are actually deeply invested in your life, your choices. It certainly changes how you might think about, well, anything you do, really, even just sitting alone. Okay, so if they're this present and invested, what's the next step? Is it just observation, or is there an invitation? What kind of role are we, humanity, offered in all this?
A very active one, actually. The sources talk about cooperating with the heavenly intelligences, mm-hmm. even being laborers together with God. It's framed as a partnership. Yeah. And this divine ministration, this divine help is presented as necessary, needed to give power and efficiency to the church in this world. So it's not just about what they do for us, but what we can achieve with them.
Okay, and what can be achieved? The sources get pretty specific here, don't they? Things like gaining a fitness for the presence of God, which sounds like developing a certain character, right? Being receptive.
Exactly. It's about character transformation, working towards perfection of character. And it connects to broader goals, too, like spreading the last message to the inhabitants of the world.
Oh, I remember seeing something striking about that. Didn't it say even children would be involved?
Yes. That the very children will be moved upon by the Spirit of God and will go forth proclaiming the truth. Quite a powerful image.
It really is. And it goes on. Saving of souls that are ready to perish, reclaiming of those who by transgression have separated themselves, and making one's own influence most ennobling. So it impacts us personally and how we affect others.
And here's a really compelling part. There is no limit to the usefulness of one who, putting self aside, makes room for the working of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
This Holy Spirit, it's described as this active, empowering force, giving power from on high. It's just this huge, untapped potential unlocked through this partnership, far beyond our usual expectations.
That's quite something. Imagine that potential in your own life, in your work, your relationships. How much more could you achieve if you really leaned into this unseen partnership? It's a big question. But okay, it can't be that simple, can it? If this potential is there, there must be obstacles. And yes, the sources definitely describe a conflict. This is where it gets really intense. They mention a great conflict going on between invisible agencies, the controversy between loyal and disloyal angels.
Exactly. It's not just potential. There's active opposition. The sources say evil angels are constantly at work, planning their line of attack.
Huh.
And they're described as controlling as commanders, kings, and rulers, the disloyal human forces. So influencing human actions against the divine plan, it's portrayed as a strategic battle for human allegiance, aimed at disrupting that divine cooperation we were just talking about. Satan, specifically, is depicted as hating humanity, hating the image of God in us. His goal, to cripple our usefulness, to weaken our faith, to make us incapable of doing God's service, basically to sideline us in this spiritual dynamic.
And it seems they don't just operate externally. The sources point to things within us that hinder this cooperation, like a spirit of criticism and bitterness, which apparently can dim spiritual discernment, cloud our ability to see clearly.
Yes, internal states matter hugely.
Also, insensibility to Christ's love, hardness of heart, and no response of gratitude. And just basic self-centeredness. There was that specific example, too, about young men being carried away with Satan's fascinations, choosing pleasures more than lovers of God, and how that could lead to choices, engagements that largely crippled, if not utterly destroyed, their potential usefulness. It shows how our own desires can be leveraged, right?
Absolutely. It highlights that vulnerability, which leads to a crucial point the sources make. With all these forces at play, both internal and external, what decides the outcome? The sources are very clear. It is the man himself who determines which shall win.
So choice, human agency, it's central.
Paramount.
Okay, so recognizing the conflict, recognizing our own potential pitfalls, that's step one. But how do we actively, you know, sustain the connection? How do we strengthen that cooperation amidst all this opposition?
Well, the sources offer very practical guidance, actually, sort of a toolkit for spiritual resilience. Firstly, the written word is our only safety. It giveth light. So scripture is a foundation, a guide.
Okay, the word. What else?
Prayer. Explicitly. We must pray, as did Daniel, that we may be guarded by heavenly intelligences, asking for that protection.
Makes sense.
Then, faith in Christ. It's said to give strength and solidity to the character, a core anchor.
Strength and solidity.
Humility is key, too. The most childlike disciple is the most efficient in labor for God. So, letting go of ego.
Interesting. Childlike, not childish.
Exactly. And praise. This one might be surprising. To praise God in fullness and sincerity of heart is as much a duty as his prayer. Active gratitude and worship as a source of strength.
So, word, prayer, faith, humility, praise. Quite a list.
And underpinning all of that is the Holy Spirit, which we touched on before. It's the source of that power from on high, that new endowment of physical, mental, and spiritual power. The Spirit actively puts forth its highest energies to work in mind and heart. It's the direct divine empowerment in the struggle.
Right. And that connects back to that promise, doesn't it? That all the power of heaven is brought to combine with human ability in drawing souls to Christ. It's not just us striving alone. Heaven combines with us. There was even that line that God's work would be carried forward even if we humans mess up or fall away. Because man's extremity is God's opportunity.
Precisely. It's an assurance. Mm-hmm. Even in failure, the larger purpose isn't defeated.
Mm-hmm.
So pulling it all together, this isn't just some abstract theology. It's presented as a very real, very personal dynamic.
Yeah.
This constant interplay of forces, the conflict, the available help, it's happening now in your life.
Yeah. This whole deep dive, it really paints a picture of a reality far more complex and far more populated than we usually think. We've seen this constant presence of heavenly intelligences, their desire to partner with us for something truly significant, and the real conflict surrounding that partnership, plus the tools we have to navigate it. So thinking about all this, what does it actually mean for you listening right now?
Maybe here's a thought to leave you with, something to really chew on. Given that these sources say heavenly intelligences are watching to see what manner of character is being developed, and that a silent witness guards every soul that lives, seeking to draw that soul to Christ, what's one daily habit, maybe something small, or one decision you regularly make? Could you consciously adjust it, even slightly, to align yourself more intentionally with those unseen forces working for your, well, your highest good? Something to think about.
If you enjoyed this study and would like to learn more, please go to revelationwithdaniel.com and search for Angels Studies. You will find a growing list of this type of podcasts.